Welcome. And this evening we are going to be interviewing Fiona Gehring. Fiona was the founder of Midpoint for Women. A little bit of background about Fiona is she's a previous physical training instructor for the Met Police, and she did that for nearly 22 years. In 2021, her life started to change. She didn't really understand why. Body and mind were falling apart, and she reached out to some friends, and they didn't know either. And she then went on to set up a fitness group and a chat group, and over time, Midpoint for Women was founded. And then it's all around menopause. So Fiona, welcome to the podcast. And I'm really excited to have you as a guest on the podcast to talk about menopause, to talk about women of a, I want to say of a certain age. I know that's probably not quite right, but it's really just to get your take on what's happening. So Fiona, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you?
Thank you very much. I am actually still a physical training instructor for the Metropolitan Police. That continues. I'm at the moment juggling a business and a full-time job because I enjoy both. And as you rightly pointed out, life changed. I'm 49 now, so about 3 years ago, just my brain and my body started changing in ways I hadn't been expecting or used to, and didn't have a clue what was going on. And obviously, if you think back 3 to 5 years ago, the social media side of everything around menopause, perimenopause, postmenopause, etc., just wasn't there. And so I was kind of floundering in the dark and surrounded by a whole group of men at work, not at home. And I decided that you kind of have to learn to help yourself, and started to help other people, which also byproductly helped myself. And it was amazing to learn different strategies and how to cope. And for me, it is about coping, because we can't change it. Every woman is going to go through it. Every woman or every girl will start her period at some point, somewhere between the ages of 9 and 15, give or take. And every woman will go through a natural menopause process somewhere between the ages of 45 and 55. Obviously, some women will go through it surgically, potentially, or even younger, naturally. Can be in their 20s. Some people can even be even younger than that, which can be really devastating and harder to detect. Which, when you say there, women of a certain age, yes, you are right. Between 45 and 55 is the certain age, but it does sort of flow either side of that as well.
Okay, and for you, so but like you said, you were in the dark, kind of floundering around. What was it for you that made you make the changes that you've made?
Couldn't bear making mistakes. Because I work for the police, you can't afford to make mistakes and errors. You can't really want to make mistakes anyway, in general. But I pride myself on doing a really good job and always being pretty sharp on my statistics, on my workload, etc. And my brain fog was horrendous. On a very personal note, I was bleeding for literally 6 months. I had about 3 days off in 6 months. It was literally draining me of energy, and my muscle mass was changing, which it is a major effect for women. We 70 to 80% of women put weight on during this process, which obviously or redistribute where their weight is, which obviously then has a knock in confidence and self-esteem. So whilst your brain potentially is becoming a bit of a mush, your body potentially is becoming a bit of a mush as well. And as a physical training instructor, I'd never had a mushy that much of a mushy body. And suddenly I put a stone and a half on, and I had absolutely no desire to do any physical activity. And that was unheard of since I was a little girl at primary school doing sport. And I think my cricket ball throwing record still stands in my primary school. So, and I'm now 49, so it's probably about 40 years of standing. It's got to be a record. But yeah, and putting and learning to talk to people so that they understand what's going on, and that was something else that I found really helps with people.
So, like, what is it that women need to be looking out for? So you've kind of given us an age range there of like 45 to 55, but what is it? What, and you obviously you've mentioned some personal things that have changed for you as well during that time, but what is it? What is it
Look, it's
that people?
basically there's hormone changes. So when you so as you go through, obviously, like I said, everyone will start the period and everyone will end their period one way or the other. And when you're changing, when your hormones levels are changing, okay, so your ovaries are not necessarily producing as much estrogen and progesterone, the two main hormones. Also, there is testosterone as well, but the estrogen and progesterone are estrogen is effectively fluctuating a little bit like a yo-yo, not daily necessarily, but over a window of time. It will yo-yo, and that will depend. That will basically make you, or potentially make you, have symptoms. And obviously, we know when I first started going through this 3 years ago, there was something like 34 symptoms. Now they attribute over 50 symptoms
Wow.
because they're realizing just how much is affected. Like for instance, there's estrogen receptors are literally under your skin, your entire body. It's the big your skin is your biggest organ. So if that can be affected by the estrogen drop, so if there's a drop in estrogen. And you suddenly find your skin is exceptionally itchy, or you feel that you've got like ants under your skin, or it's very, very dry, and you think, well, this is a abnormal for you. It may be that you've got a drop in the estrogen, and therefore that's why you're getting these reactions and these symptoms. And then obviously, so the estrogen's sort of upping and down in like a yo-yo, and then which is why sometimes people for a few months will be quite irritable potentially or really anxious, and then they maybe plateau for a bit because the estrogen might have come back up, might not be as up as it was before, but it'll be up a little bit, and so therefore maybe not quite so anxious or anxiety or whatever, irritable or whatever it might be. And the progesterone and the testosterone effectively do like a slide, like a linear slide, and they gradually slide away. They don't go up and down necessarily, they just kind of slide away. So they're a little bit more stable. And it's about understanding that that process is natural. And the point is that the symptoms, so whether it's weight gain, some women do lose weight, it's unlikely, but they do lose weight. We've got brain fog, dry skin, hair thinning, there's so many. Body odor can change. I've had a friend who, I say a friend, she's now a friend, who has said, she said, I literally have never had any issues with body odor, and suddenly, like overnight, she said, I stink. And I said, you don't stink. She goes, I stink. Because obviously it's changed for her, but literally she's 48, and now her body, literally her body is literally just pushing out these smells that she's never been used to. And obviously now she's very self-conscious of that in her workplace.
And like, so a lot of the clients that I speak to, so a lot of the dog owners that I speak to are of, and I say of a certain age, they're kind of 40 plus. And over the last few, in fact, the last few months, not even the last few weeks, over the last few months, a lot of these ladies that I've spoken to have told me, either on the phone or via Zoom, that they've got brain fog, that they're menopausal, that they're anxious, that they're just not quite feeling themselves at the minute. And like, so they're telling me, but what can they do to help themselves?
First and foremost is don't diagnose yourself, because all the symptoms for perimenopausal symptoms are pretty much identical to thyroid issues. So really, you do need to go to your GP. I know it's sometimes quite difficult for them to get to a GP, but realistically, shouldn't really be diagnosing yourself. You probably know what it is, and if you've tracked that a little bit, probably over 3 to 6 months, and they realise things are changing, and not just because you're hearing it in social media, you just say, oh, actually, this is it. It could be that you have a thyroid issue. So you need to go to a GP, get a blood test. Blood test for hormone changes, to be honest, is quite inaccurate because it literally, if you're in a down slope of that yo-yo, it will
Yeah.
show you one thing, or if it shows you you're at the top, it'll show you completely different.
Sure.
So most people under the age of 40, 45 would be offered a test. Over 45 won't be. But what they do definitely do need to do is get it checked that it's not a thyroid, because they might need thyroxine or something. But yeah, so it's don't diagnose yourself, go to a GP, look at your lifestyle. That's one thing I've really looked at. And because when we're getting to this age, okay, you've either got empty nest syndrome, the kids are starting to leave home, or you've got teenage kids who are going through their own hormonal changes as well. Potentially divorce or separation, you might have elderly parents, or if you're lucky enough still to have your parents or family members who are needing extra help, you know, are you the one that's reliable to take them to hospital, etc., etc., or doctor's appointments? And that puts more pressure on. And what we're then thinking is that actually, is it we're asking so much of ourselves as individuals? Because that's why my logo is an octopus, because it's got eight hands and it basically keeps juggling multiple tasking. And even if we drop one hand, we still try and juggle all the other things. So actually one of the biggest things is to look at the lifestyle, look at what you're actually asking of yourself. Are you actually asking too much? And just because you could cope with it maybe when you were 21 or 25, it's like drinking. When you were 20, 30, you go out for a drink, get absolutely hammered. Or just for the record, I never drank, so, and I still don't drink. But if you go out and you drank when you were 30, the hangover didn't really last that long, and you'd be over it the next day. Whereas now, I think most people of a certain age will probably go out for a drink. If they do drink too much, it probably takes them a week to a fortnight to get over it if they're lucky. Would you agree?
Absolutely, I'm definitely in that category, that's for sure.
As
And
a
I've
non
got many drink.
as a non-drinker, I just kind of have to ask your advice on that, because but it's true, and it's that, are you still expecting yourself to function as you would have done maybe 10, 15 years ago? And are there now other pressures on you? So looking at the stress levels, and one of the big thing is that stress actually for women, actually for men as well, but stress impacts cortisol release, and it's one of the other hormones, and unfortunately that helps with fat deposits, mostly around your chest down to your waist. So that whole wedge, as I call it, armpit to hips. So if women are finding themselves putting on weight and then nothing else is really changing, is it their stress levels could be a little bit higher than they should be, and therefore having that impact? So, you know, looking at the lifestyle, reducing stress levels, thinking a lot of more about self-care. So that encompasses everything, you know, nutrition, health, exercise, sleep. If I had to say, as a physical training instructor, I find this really difficult to say, but I would have always said fitness and nutrition, the two major things. I think at this time of our lives, sleep and water probably come top. And then exercise. Obviously, exercise and nutrition is really, really important, but they sort of sit, those four things sit at the top of the pile that we've got to look at.
Wow. Yeah, I mean that is super telling what you've just said there. So like diagnose your GP, get the help that you need, and where are people going to get help? Like I'm assuming there's a lot of you're talking about self-diagnosing there, so I'm assuming there's a lot of Dr. Google going on. But what happens? So you go to your GP and you say, you know, I've got all these symptoms. I think I'm menopausal, perimenopausal, however, or whatever is going on for you. And it comes back and they say, yeah, you're menopausal. What happens then?
Okay, so you've got, so just to clarify, so it's a little clearer. So perimenopause is the part before, that's where you get all your symptoms. That's why your hormones are all changing. Menopause is actually only one single day in your life. And that's the day that 1 year after your period. So it means you have to do tracking, because ultimately I bled for 6 months and then I had 3 months of nothing. And I thought, oh, is this me? Am I done? That would be a result, but it actually wasn't. It all came back again. So you have to track. So your menopause is actually only one day after a whole year. So if you went 9 months and then bled, you start again from that point. So that's menopause, one single day. Postmenopause is everything after that. And for most people, if you go through it at the 45 to 55 and you live to your 80, 85, you live 30 years postmenopause. That's without the hormones, unless, of course, you choose to do HRT. So when you go to your GP, you remember you only get 10 minutes. They only get something like 20 minutes, half an hour online training package to do with menopause when it affects 51% of the population. Every single person born female, so trans man, non-binary woman, and women, will all go through the menopause at some point, but they only get 20 minutes, half an hour of email, online training. Which is why it's so important for women to track their symptoms, track their periods, their menstrual cycle, the flow, potentially how heavy they are, how that's going. Because that was something that I didn't pay any attention to. I just kind of thought, oh, this is just weird. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And then when they said, well, how bad's it been? And I was kind of like, having to change every 45 minutes, which is ridiculous when you're trying to work. and having, you know, bad accidents all the time. It was really, and it's hard to take when that's happening. So the tracking process is really important. So when you go to your GP and you've only got that 10 minutes, you can tell them exactly what's going on for you. Also going forewarned or forearmed with whether you want to take HRT or whether you want to just look at your lifestyle changes. Because HRT is amazing, okay? But it's not the be all and end all. Because if your lifestyle is crazy, crazy, mad busy, this isn't going to fix that. This will just help towards some of the symptoms, but it doesn't help that. So you've got to still look at this. And that's why I look at that lifestyle process that has to be looked at for everybody. And that doesn't mean you don't, you know, suddenly sit back on the sofa and don't do anything. It's just the case that, because, you know, however great that might sound, it isn't going to be very good for your body. But yeah, HRT is obviously an option, which comes in obviously patches, gels, sprays, and tablets. Patches, gels, and sprays are transdermal, which means they go through the skin, which are much easier to be absorbed. Excuse me. The tablets, they are metabolized by the liver, which means they need to go through another process inside your body before you absorb them. So there can be a few issues maybe with tablets because of that extra process. You do have to review it all the time. That's something I found with a lot of ladies that I deal with. They kind of think, oh, I'm on HRT, that's it. And then they think, why is this not working? Or, oh, I was hoping it would be a quick fix. And it's not. And it's because if you imagine they're in perimenopause stage with the yo-yo, they're putting in X amount of estrogen and progesterone, but the yo-yo's still happening. So obviously that's going to change over time. So reviewing is really important. And again, still keeping a track of where your symptoms are affecting, because most of the time, you'd only have estrogen and progesterone if you're still having your periods. If you've had a full hysterectomy and you've not got a womb any uterus anymore or any no ovaries or anything, you'd only need estrogen. But if you've still got everything, then you'd need estrogen and progesterone. As a general rule, GPs in the UK won't give you testosterone unless you say basically you've got a really low libido or you're exceptionally tired, might be another one. But it's not licensed in the UK through a normal GP. Some are a bit more forward thinking and thinking, well, if you're losing three, why are we not replacing three? Which would be absolutely right. But you probably have to go private to pay for that. You could try your GP.
I mean, this is fascinating. I mean, obviously, I have all this to come. It's going to happen at some point. So, like, Fiona, we're in 2023. Why do we not know about this before?
Because it's a taboo subject and we're not in charge of the country.
And why is there so much stigma attached to something that's going to happen to us?
It's just because it's personal. People just, you know, I don't know. I mean, I spoke to my mum last year and she said, oh no, I didn't have any of those things. And then I looked to my dad across the other side of the table and his eyes are rolled and turning away as if he doesn't want to say anything. And so clearly there were issues, but just nobody spoke about it. And also I think there's an element where some people will be maybe a little cynical and say, well, everyone's jumping on the bandwagon. You think, well, yeah, but there's 51% of the population will go through this process, have to go through this process one way or the other. And we need that support. Why should we suffer in silence? And companies need to, you know, they do things for occupational health. So you break your leg, you get this, hopefully you should get some support to help you get back into the workplace. Or if you can't do the job you were doing, is there an option to do a different job, you know, to try and help you stay being employed, etc., etc. This is only just changing now, and not every employer is following suit by supporting staff. That's one of the things like with my program, and that's what I'm hoping for is that companies will say, well, actually, I'd like to pay to fund one of my female members of staff or X number of female staff onto the program to try and help them with that whole lifestyle support process. Because women are valuable, massively valuable in the workplace. And why on earth do we not want to keep them? It's only women that can have babies, so they have to go off and have babies if you're not adopting or fostering, etc. But, you know, so they follow that process, then unfortunately, women will have to go through this process as well. So why not, you know, give them the same amount of support as you do, hopefully, when they're going through maternity leave and having kids?
And so you say that some companies are kind of up with this, but others aren't. But surely that is going to be beneficial if companies are helping. And is this, again, is this to do with the symptoms, or is this the, like you mentioned about, not being able to keep your stats there, and all these things that you'd ordinarily usually done suddenly changing and moving from you? Is it that at that point ladies need to be looking at a different role, or how is that gonna, is that a very individual to workplace, or I don't really.
Yeah, I think that's it's a really good question. I think it depends on the industry, because ultimately, if somebody's been with you, it doesn't matter whether they've been with you for 5 years, 10 years, or 25 or 30 years, whatever it is, value what you've got sitting in front of you and try and support her. And if that's speak to her, communication is everything. Whether that's communication at home to a partner, a family member, whoever it might be, or whether you're communicating with your employer, because they don't know what they don't know. And I kind of say, well, how do you, somebody said to me, oh, they've not been very supportive. I said, well, have you actually spoken to them about it? Well, no, but they should know. It's a little bit like bereavement. How does somebody know? They know that you've lost, if you've gone for a bereavement, you've had some time off work, your team of people, however many office or whatever, your management will know that you've gone through that bereavement. So we'll make allowances maybe for late starting, or maybe if you're going a bit of emotional or whatever, or being a bit more sensitive around the office environment. Well, okay, we don't want to have a flag that says, oh, by the way, I'm perimenopausal. Do you know what I mean? We don't need to go that far, or you've got a little
It's too
flag on
obvious then, isn't it? Like a little
you.
pin badge on you, yeah.
A little pin badge, a little red one, a green one, or a yellow one, or something. I don't think we need to go that for traffic light system, but it's just it's true. I mean, like I've now been doing talks for the Met inside, not as my job, as in as Midpoint for Women. So I think I've done about nearly 200 men already, and they have lit the feedback has been absolutely amazing because they were like, I had no idea.
And that was something that I was going to ask as well. So the education, I mean, well, I'm not far off 40. You're only just a little bit older than me.
Only off, just off 50, yeah.
Well, I'm just off 40, so there's I'm narrowing that gap down here. So I'm keeping this side, and you can keep that side as well. But the education system, surely that is letting us down at some point as well, because I don't remember ever being told about that. I don't mean ever be. Ever remember being told about menopause. I don't ever remember having any conversation about menopause, and genuinely, like until I was in the police, like obviously years ago now, but like there was one day there was some doctor came in and did a talk, and it was like all the women can go, but there was no men there. And I thought, well, fundamentally something's wrong here, because we've got a police-dominated police force that. You actually, if you look at the stats, the men were the managers and managing, so sergeants, inspectors, chief inspectors. Yes, there were some women within there, but the vast majority are men.
Yeah, and that's—I mean, I've kind of—I feel quite privileged to have been given the responsibility. And that sounds really weird, but to be given the responsibility to actually educate some of these people. Some of these people—it's mostly the firearms instructors at the moment.
Oh, wow.
But really, this should be across every organisation. Doesn't matter what your workforce dynamic is, whether it's men or women, whether they're mostly office-based, whether they're industries, because every man is linked to every woman. One way or the other, whether it's a sister, a dad, because if it's a dad and he's got three daughters, he needs to know that his daughters may go through this earlier and needs to be understanding of it. I mean, he'll probably understand a little bit about menstrual cycle and stuff like that, but it's, and maybe have seen her go through teenage years where they've maybe had some difficulties. But if every man is aware of it, then that means every manager is aware of it, male or female, whatever the demographic is. And for me, seeing these men that I sit, 40 men sitting in front of me, I mean, they barely say a word because they're in shock. But it's also affecting them personally, because ultimately they all talk to me out with the talks, and I say to them, they may not have any physical contact with their wife or partner anymore, and they're ready, they're borderline going through ready for a divorce. And I think, the cost of the separation or divorce is massive. The impact that has on families is massive. I've been told already that, just having a conversation with some, like with the female, and then the husband actually said to me, "You've saved my marriage." And I said, "I haven't. You've saved your own marriage." I said, "But because you started talking to each other and understanding what she was going through and realizing that taking the mickey out of her probably wasn't the best option." But he was just trying to do it to be funny.
And then
Whereas,
make it lighthearted because he doesn't know what to actually say.
yeah, and you can say, "Oh, there's been documentaries by Davina or Lisa Snowden or Gabby Logan. They're doing amazing. And Kelly Holmes have been doing amazing things on various TV programs and documentaries." But most people don't relate to them because they're not normal people. They don't see them as normal people because they have a lot of things at their disposal that most ordinary people don't have. And that's not me saying that. That's how other people have told me that they feel it.
So you're kind of putting the normality onto menopause. That's what I'm getting. And he's good. He's good. And like I say, the people that I speak to, the clients that I speak to, the potential clients I speak to, it can sometimes be really difficult because they clearly want to do something new. They want to change this lifestyle, but in their way is this thing that's happening to them that they don't really get. So like, is there anything else that you'd say for the listeners for this podcast? So we've gone through kind of they need to get diagnosed properly rather than self-diagnosing. For the men that might be listening, because there may be some men that are listening, but really what I'm taking is be supportive. And if you don't understand, then actually go and learn.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I would say equally is about men. They do go through changes as well. They lose their testosterone levels. They start to change from the age of 30, 1% a year. So if you think, there's quite a big portion of divorce rates happen, sadly, separations happen between that sort of 45, 55, probably because kids are growing up, maybe don't have to be, mum and dad anymore, or dad and dad, mum and mum, whatever. But there's quite a lot of divorces happen at this time. And it can be that he's going through changes, she's going through changes, and neither are communicating with each other and being honest with each other about what's going on, or making too much light of it rather than maybe actually sitting down and going, "Look, what's happening? Why is this happening?" I mean, I said to a guy the other day, a couple of months ago, and he turned around and said, he goes, "I went home and she'd been shopping and there was nothing for dinner." And I said, "Please tell me you did not say anything negative." And he went, "I just went, babe, how did you go shopping and there was no food for dinner and there's nothing for dinner?" And I said, "See, for me, that's, you just didn't get it. You didn't, two and two didn't put, he got five." Whereas, for me, I just like, yeah, should I get a takeaway or shall I try and rustle something up? Do you know what I mean? It's just because, how bad does she feel that she's gone shopping and actually done a whole food shop and there isn't anything, she hasn't got anything out for dinner? She's probably already feeling bad about that or guilty about that, that she's messed up, because it's affecting everything, our heart, our brain, our bodies, our bones, everything is being affected through these changes. But it's about communication. It's between two people or organisations and the person. And I think making the whole thing about menopause, so perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, that midlife challenges, because ultimately it doesn't matter. Every man has still got the mum and dad or whoever it might be. They've got the kids growing up. Maybe they're just as gutted the kids are leaving home. Equally, they might be really pleased. So it's about communicating with whoever you live with and work that to make it better. I mean, I know that I write everything down. Not everything that we're talking about now, obviously. but I know it sounds silly, but
It's fine.
yeah. But it's a case of, I write everything down. If I'm doing a presentation, I say at the beginning that I really like, one of my things is I do struggle with brain fog. It probably helps that I'm doing a subject matter that's one of the things. I said, imagine how anxious I must feel because in the worry that I might forget what I'm talking about. I said, but equally, I've got some notes. If it goes wrong, I will reach for my notes and I will pick up my notes, and you'll just have to go with the flow. That, and it's kind of like an acceptance that you're going, "Do you know what? This is the way it is. Right now, that's the way it is." I know that's not always easy for people in certain industries. They might think they think, because I said to somebody, I did a presentation to actually, it was actually to the SLT of one of the firearms commands just a couple of weeks ago. And I said, "Can you imagine if I'd completely forgotten what I was going to talk about? How incompetent, incapable, I've not done any planning or preparation, and how bad that would look." I said, "But ultimately, do you genuinely think I would have done that deliberately?" The answer's no. But how does that affect me then going to the next presentation? My anxiety levels would be much higher. So I said, it's just about planning, it's about prepping, it's about putting things in strategies in place. Even in one of the talks I did, I was so nervous because I'd had a real patch of being quite forgetful. And I actually said to them, if I go to the corner of the room at the front, I said, and I seem to be there a little bit longer than I should be, so could you do me a favor, just go for a cup of tea and come back in 10 minutes. But everybody's to go out for 10 minutes. And they didn't realize what it was. And it wasn't until later in the session I actually explained that that was my get out, because I don't need anybody's eyes watching me, because I'm already going to be pressurizing myself to try and get my brain back into work mode. So again, that's just a strategy to take the pressure off.
Fantastic. And then in terms of recording, in terms of, I don't mean recording as in the podcast recording, but in terms of actually monitoring, and is there a particular thing? Is it a pen and paper? Is it on your phone? Is there apps you
Yeah,
can?
there's lots of apps out there. There's lots of so you've got Louise Newson is probably the most famous one. Louise Newson, the Balance app. There's a free section. I would highly recommend the free section, not the paid section. It's really, really useful. They've got lots and lots of resources on there. Covers everything from like PMDD, so to do with your periods, like being really, really bad before the 2 weeks before. Some women can literally turn into horrendous situations, a PMS plus plus plus, effectively. So it has literally resources. Yeah, it's really bad. Thankfully, I haven't done that one. But it's that's one thing my partner says. My partner and I've been together 20 years, so she'll be coming into this over the next few years as well. She says to me, "Please don't do all symptoms." And I said, "No, I'll leave some for you. I promise." So, because that's the other thing, if you're in a female relationship, two females, one's going to be following the other, or an understanding. And again, it's like no other relationship. It's just got to understand and communicate, and that's the best thing forward. But yeah, the Balance app, that's got loads of good resources on. There's another one called the Latte Lounge, which I think at the moment actually might have a free year's access. They have a paid bit every 3 months, but you can do a free thing. I think they've just literally said it's for free for a year. I'm not sure how long that's for. But they're great. Yeah, it's, I mean, there's so much out there, but definitely tracking everything, symptoms and your menstrual cycle, because you've got to go to your doctors with plenty of information before. Because unless, like, I even went to a women's clinic to had a coil fitted to try and stop the bleeding, and the doctor was she was lovely, but she said, "Now, do you know anything about the menopause?" And I said, "Actually, I do," and I kind of just told her, and she slid her chair along, faced me, and said, "Really?" And I went, "Yeah." And I told her, she said, "What do you do?" And I told her, and she went, "Would you be willing to come to the clinic and actually do some talks for us?" And I'm like, "This is a doctor's clinic for women, but they had nobody to do with menopause. It's a women's clinic." But they have, and they've got lots of women that sit on low-level mental health issues, whether that's actually, depression, anxiety, because of menopause, like the hormone changes, because ultimately many women would have been chucked on antidepressants straight away. I mean, I've had men say to me their wives were put on antidepressants years ago, and probably a lot of them probably didn't really need it. It was maybe other things going on. And actually turns out one of them, he spoke to me, and he actually said that she had a thyroid issue. So she kept off the antidepressants, got onto thyroxine.
Different person.
Different person. Although she was then going to head into, unfortunately, she was probably going to head into the menopause as well. So she probably then needs to look at HRT as well. The one thing I would say about HRT is obviously people that have had breast cancer, that's the one thing you do need to obviously speak to oncologists and specialists about that. Because you can actually get estrogen pessaries to put inside your vagina, which actually helps a little bit of really low dose of estrogen, but it's something that you need to speak to your GPs about, and but more so an oncologist, a specialist oncologist.
Getting that specialist advice.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. And then so lastly, how do people get in contact with you if they want to speak to you, if they want you to go into their businesses, if they want you to have a chat with them or join your courses or talk to me? Shameless plug it. Go for it.
So, thank you. So, you can contact me through Facebook. There's a Facebook page, Midpoint for Women. So it's obviously Midpoint, the number for women. That's a page. The same as the website. I'm on Instagram as well. If you want to contact me through those, I'm not sure, you might be able to put the email on. It's just info at midpointforwomen.co.uk. And that would cover you for, like, you'd ask anything to do with the 12-week program, the online support program. That's covered, literally any female can join that. It runs for 12 weeks, it's 4 times a year. So the next one starts on the 1st of February. It's under £200 if you book early. So for 12, nearly 13 weeks worth of information. And that's not just me, that's 11 different contributors: nutrition,
Wow.
mental health, breath work, nutritional therapist, pelvic floor, hair care, skin care. Literally, I've got 11 contributors all delivering into the program because they see it so important. And it's all women as well, so it's a really nice supportive group. We usually sort of sit between sort of 30 and 40 people, 50 people in a program, but there's no upper limit to that. So you can join that as an individual, or if you work for a company and you would like them to fund your space, which is ultimately what I think is the way forward, is you've got occupational health that helps you come back from a broken leg or maternity leave or whatever. But actually, could we support our female workforce and keep them in work longer? Because your pension age has gone up. So at the end of the day, you could do that. And then if you want workshops, I deliver online and prefer in-person workshops because I think they're more fun and more engaging from my point of view. But we can do online as well. And they vary from 90 minutes to 2.5 hours, depending on what you're asking and what group it is, whether it's a management group or whether it's actually the workforce themselves.
Yeah.
And that can be men and women.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, like I'm hopeful. I say hopeful. I know that the listeners are going to get some absolute golden nuggets from this, and I wouldn't be surprised if you're reached out to as well. So, like, thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much for sharing all of those knowledge bombs that I know are going to be really important. And like we say, not even just for the women. Actually, if they're men listening, then men are going to get benefit of this as well, because they might be thinking, why is my partner, wife, child, whoever, female relative, behaving this way? Or it might be a friend. It might be a friend at work who they're going, wow, what's the matter with you today? What, you're not who you were yesterday. What's happening? But even for the guys to actually have a bit of insight in what's going on here.
Yeah, I have to say that's one thing from the guys I've delivered my workshops to and have spoken to me in general. It's mostly been, I had no idea what she was going through. And most of the time she didn't realise it either, to be fair. But it's on some people that have gone through a divorce or separation, they've said, I actually see what you've said. And I'm thinking maybe that was partly. Now, that could be an excuse, of course, but realistically, it's probably true for some of them that there were changes happening and they just didn't realize that that's something that maybe they could have helped with.
Sure. No, well, Fiona, thank you very much for your time this evening. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I'll make sure all your contact details are on the podcast. But yeah, thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.
No worries, not a problem. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.